Hello, it's Justine. I'm driving, hence the odd background noise, on the way to a masked ball. And as I'm driving, I'm sort of reflecting on the week I've had, really. So often I have one of those jobs where if I wasn't doing it, I'd kill to do this job. And how lucky is that? I know a lot of people don't get the opportunity to say that. I hope that doesn't sound smug, really. Just grateful, really, that I get to do lovely things with great people and sort of bask in their talent, really. So I've spent the week directing a 6-episode drama for BBC, and this is for Radio 4, actually. So very easy on the visuals. You get the writing right and the actor's job's a doddle, and you get the casting right, and you can just sit back and enjoy, really. And although I've directed, I don't know, maybe 200 scenes this week, God, there was a fair few. Lots of in and out of cars as well, lots of standing in the rain, lots of avoiding chickens, lots of avoiding bin men, but a lot of laughter. I mean, we have laughed so much, and I recorded this radio drama in my house, which I've got a house that's quite a lot of in and outdoors and lots of levels with different types of floors, so it works relatively well for radio drama. And it just means it can be such an informal process. You know, everybody, you know, my kitchen is their kitchen, get catering in, and everybody just pitches in, and it's just for 1 week, it's just been an utter joy. My family have sort of vacated the house partly, but we've been ahead of schedule every day, which, you know, doesn't always work like that. You plan to the nth degree, but you can't always guarantee that things will work. What a great cast. Honestly, what a great cast we've had. And what's been really interesting about this one is I suppose the other person that makes directing radio really easy are the sound engineers, and I'm lucky to work with two sound engineers that are fabulous. I tend to work with Mike Thornton and, in this case, Eloise Whitmore, both who are fabulous. And it's been a joy, really. This is a 6-episode drama called Cottonopolis, and it's about as things start to happen, people start to go missing across the city, feared kidnapped and abducted, maybe even murdered. You don't know right till the end what's gone on. And as they go missing, it's about how fear affects people's lives. There's a line in the play which is, fear is good, one day fear might save your life. But it's about the fallout for characters when they start to change their behaviour, affected by something they can't control, in this case, fear of the unknown. And so you end up with 6 individual stories that are linked by situation and a slight crossover of characters. Wicked, wicked plays. What's been amazing about this week, and I've said it so many times that it's really been very different, is that I've spent the whole time talking about how we will do this on radio because of how it would be on television. And normally, just, you know, if you're in the studio, you're stood around a mic, kind of in a sort of 1940s radio style. But if you do it on location, you are in the door, on the sofa, lying on the bed. I've had lots of lovely actors on my bed. Ooh. And I've lost track. Sorry, just having a bit of a hot flush about some of the lovely actors that have been performing on my bed this week. But yes, it was something Will Ash said, actually, at the end of the week. That when you're in studio, you have to act, and in your head, you have to be playing what's happening when it's radio. But actually, on location, you're just there. You're just doing it. You're just being it. But what's been fascinating for me is I've spent the whole week talking about the mic as a camera, more than ever. The mic as, the camera shot would be panning across everybody. When this character says this, the camera shot would be look at character X's expression, look at character Y's expression, look back, see how that affects everybody, pan out, see how, you know, whatever. And actually, I'm clearly not doing that on radio, but Ellie, in this case, was doing that with the microphone. And it was really interesting to do a radio piece that just felt so telly. And also, you know, there are some things, there are some looks that you have in radio. Some things that you do on radio are really, really easy and a nightmare on telly. For example, you know, costume dramas set in outside the Taj Mahal. Bloody pain in the arse on TV. But actually, you know, you're just there in radio. Perfect. No hassle. But on radio, you know, conversely, there are some things on radio that you could just do with clocking somebody's expression. I'll give you an example. If you, on TV, a scenario, if you were going to say to somebody, I love you, but the look tells us that they clearly don't, and you get all the subtext and you get all the intent of the scene through the look. And this play was absolutely riddled with those. I don't want to give away the episodes if you are going to listen to it. But for example, there's a moment where a woman makes a decision that's completely against character to not do something and just to walk away. And in TV, you would just see her eye. She would tell that story just with her eyes. You'd do a really close up. You'd tell that story with her eyes, and you'd see the decision, and she would gently walk away, and that would be it. And you'd know, and then you'd look at the other character involved in that scene, and so on and so on. And without that look, we had to act it via walks, sighs, and a whole host of other little kind of tricks and tools to make that read on radio. And another situation, there's a massive crescendo scene in episode 6. You know, it's kind of the kind of nub of the whole play, really. A kind of, you know, whodunit, Agatha Christie drawing room kind of moment. And there was, you know, there's one point where a character completely crumples, and another character who's not handling the information he's getting well sort of would, if it was on TV, would look over at that other character with a sort of sympathy and empathy, but a kind of absolute fear to go and move towards them and help them. And you would do that all via visuals, you know, close-ups. And actually on radio, because those characters aren't saying anything, you have to deliver that line via breath. And God bless, I have to say, it makes me laugh every time I think about it, but Mark Jordan, brilliant actor, had about 4 of those moments. And his ability to breathe a look, well, I mean, just deserves an award, really. Fabulous. And so, well, hey, if Cottonopolis ever makes it to telly, I know exactly how it'll be directed, because I spent the whole time thinking about it in TV terms. And do you know, it's probably the first time, really, that I've done that, actually. The very first time I've done. So, you know, hence why we laughed an awful lot, because those sorts of things they're so intense, those sorts of things, that you finish them and they're bloody hilarious. I would say we also did laugh because we're having some big structural work done to walls outside, and, you know, spent most of the time waiting for diggers to stop digging, which was very funny. Yeah, very good week, a very, very good week, and all credit. If you do get to listen to it, just listen to it on a good radio and feel those sighs. And before I go, I'm sorry, I have gone on a bit, just wanted to thank, I always get people in who are very interested in learning about media or radio or whatever, and come along, and they get very, very involved. They're not allowed to sit around and watch, but big thank you to Shannon Beaton, Sean Hocking, and Tom Kerrigan, who were just fantastic. They worked their butts off this week and did an amazing job, and I made it a doddle for everybody. So again, thank you.